From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch the show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Just days after the last deadline for DACA registrants to renew their status passed, Donald Trump released a lengthy and hardline wish list to Congress for immigration reform as a condition for considering the DREAM Act. DACA, an Obama-era program, allowed young undocumented immigrants to defer deportation and work in the U.S. But Trump's ending of the program and his promise to his base to deport all immigrants has upended hundreds of thousands of lives. In exchange for considering the DREAM Act, which would formalize DACA recipient status, Trump wants Democrats in Congress to help pass a funding bill to build his border wall with Mexico, hire 10,000 new Border Patrol agents, increase the already onerous requirements for refugees seeking asylum, deny federal funding to sanctuary cities, require the use of the E-Verified database in hiring, and end family immigration pathways. In effect, Trump's demands require sacrificing most other undocumented immigrants in exchange for the safety and security of Dreamers. Democrats have responded saying the list was a non-starter and have threatened the possibility of a government shutdown. My guest is Roberto Flores. He is a professor of Chicano studies at Cal State Los Angeles, founder of the Eastside Cafe, where he now joins us from. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Sonali.
So let's first talk about DACA. I know that you've been involved in helping to get DACA registrants meet that October 5th deadline that passed to renew their status for possibly the last time. And we're seeing reports now that a full quarter of eligible DACA registrants did not file their renewal, probably because of the fears of what the government might do. How have young people that you might have been talking to been dealing with what's happened to DACA?
Many of the students are worried. They're afraid. They're afraid of their overall situation. They know they're being utilized as a political pawn. They know they're being held hostage, and they're very angry. They're very angry about what they consider to be treasonous from the Democratic Party. I think for us to understand their anger, I think we need to go back to Obama. And the Obama administration, as we all know, during the first 8 months, I believe, had both a majority in the Senate as well as in the in Congress legislation, and did not use that opportunity to attempt to pass a comprehensive immigration bill, which would have taken care of this. Instead, it gave way to Republican demands and did not move on the comprehensive immigration legislation.
Right. So, Obama basically thought that if he increased enforcement, which ended up being resulting in massive deportation, that somehow the Republicans would concede, except of course Republicans just pushed harder.
Exactly. And so, you know, he earned the name the deporter in chief. So this situation left the towards the end of his first 4 years, he of course needed the Latino vote, and once again used the immigrants and the immigration issue as a political tactical tool, and offered DACA. Deferred action on children of arrivals, and DAPA, which was for the parents. DAPA never got off the ground. Both were contested in court. DACA slipped through and was applied, but DAPA, D-A-P-A for parent, was held in court and never implemented. But this is This was an Obama doing. This is now he tells Trump that this is very inhumane and mean. But what he did was no less mean. You know, what he didn't do was as insensitive and inhuman as what Trump is doing today. Trump is a narcissist, and he will tell us, though, exactly what he is doing. There are things that he lies about, but he lies about them in a way that is transparently a lie. Like, for instance, him saying that he loves the DACA students, that they hold a special place in his heart.
Right, he has flip-flopped on them over the past year and a half in interviews and speeches, depending upon who's asking the question or who he's addressing. It's either deport everybody, Mexicans are rapists and criminals, or all the young undocumented immigrants are important. So it's not
exactly
clear.
Exactly. So it's been racism. To a level that we have never experienced outright in a form that we have never heard. But, you know, in a way, I'd rather have my oppressor tell me the truth than to hide it and say that they're for me when they're not. And so we can mobilize against that. I think Obama, given that he was black, given that he was very well-mannered and very well-spoken, a genius in terms of his rhetoric, he was able to prevent us from moving against him, developing a movement against him. But what did happen, and in spite of all of this, is that the Dreamers was a movement that rose up, saw through what Obama was doing, immediately started and developed the movement necessary to pressure Obama to at least come up with DAPA.
Right.
Already, towards the end of his first term, he was being called a deporter in chief, and the Dreamers and undocumented and unafraid movements forced the Obama administration to do something, or else he wasn't going to get voted in on a second term. The Latino vote, in many respects, was the crucial and the critical deciding vote. And so we have to understand that DACA was, from the very beginning, left the DACA students in a very vulnerable situation. It wasn't something that passed through Congress or
It was at the discretion of the executive.
Exactly,
right.
An executive order. So it was a very vulnerable situation and set up a situation that Trump could not use, take the DACA students hostage and say, either you do all that you mentioned, all those 7 or 8 points that you mentioned, mm-hmm. from the wall to hiring from 10 to 25. 1,000 new Border Patrol. The Border Patrol has always been seen by our community as a special police for us. It's a special police. It's a special commando, Gestapo, fascist troops in our community. People don't understand the amount and intensity of terror that the community feels when they see the immigration. Cars and trucks and armed officers. And they are for us. They are particularly developed for Mexicans.
So he wants, Trump wants Democrats to basically meet these demands before the DREAM Act could be passed. They're not talking about, the whole idea of comprehensive immigration reform has been completely sort of perverted in the image of what the Republican Party has been pushing for years. Interestingly enough, there was a new poll done that showed 60% of Americans favor allowing Dreamers to stay in the U.S. compared to only 22% who are opposed. And we should talk about some of the things that Trump is demanding and also how the Democrats are responding, in addition to the extra Border Patrol agents, in addition to the funding for the wall. He wants to end the ability of people who have emigrated to the U.S. to bring extended family members, make it harder, even harder. It already is hard for refugees seeking asylum. He wants to make it even harder. Doesn't that effectively amount to demanding that the Democrats sacrifice all non-Dreamers for Dreamers?
Exactly. And this is why I mentioned Obama and the Democrats and the whole vulnerability of the present situation and the fact that Trump has been able to grab the Dreamers by the neck, put a gun to their heads, and tell the world, either you give me what I'm saying or I'm going to shoot. And this is exactly what he's done. And so the reason I bring this up is because now we have to move in a way where we don't depend on the Democrats. And, you know, they're ready to give in.
They are. I mean, Nancy Pelosi has already said that that the Democrats would consider, and leading Democrats have said that they would consider shutting down the government over these demands, and that it's a non-starter for them. That seems to be as hard a position as you would want the Democrats to take, right?
Yes, definitely. And we have to push, though. We have to push for them to stand up and have a backbone in that manner. They normally do not. Historically, they do not. And they give in. So I think that this is exactly what we're facing. We're facing a hostage situation. And we need to, and the people negotiating are not strong enough. And they're going to, but the Dreamers, on the other hand, are. And they understand this. And they are going to expose it all. And they are very angry. And there's been two great movements developing in the last 3 to 4 years, 5 years. And that's the Dreamer movement and the Black Lives Matter movement. And what I've been seeing recently from Black Lives Matter and the Dreamers is that they're using this term intersectionality for bringing themselves together, uniting the communities in this struggle. And so I think that this has to happen. We have to have Black, Brown unity forcing the Democrats not to give in to this hostage situation. And to stand up and stop the government, stop business as usual. And so, you know, that's where I think we're headed.
I'm so glad you brought up the context of what the Democrats didn't do when they had the ability to do, because it should be within that context that we should view Nancy Pelosi, House Minority Leader's remarks, where she said essentially that this is a non-starter. She said there's nothing in it to negotiate, meaning the list that Trump gave her, because it does not have shared values of who we are as Americans. And it's too bad that those same shared American values were not implemented by Democrats when they did have the power. And we see this time and time again. It's easier to be the opposition party because you can wave a lot of rhetoric without actually being required to do the hard work. But this time around, that hard work of standing firm against these demands is something that we'll see. We'll see whether they do it or not. Democratic leaders, many of the leaders have said that they are threatening a government shutdown, but whether or not they can corral all Democrats is a big question. In the meantime, what do people do about somebody like Trump? There's been so much fear in our communities because he has simply ramped up raids, ramped up detentions, ramped up deportations, because he can, Trump.
The battle, we believe, and the way we've been approaching it here in El Sereno from the Eastside Cafe, is at the local level. and we've been to the neighborhood councils and attempted to pass a resolution that would declare El Sereno a sanctuary community. Now, the sanctuary term, as we all know, is fluid and vague and interpreted different ways by different folks. Now, we have developed a sanctuary, an understanding and the different points of what sanctuary, definition of sanctuary for ourselves, for the El Sereno community. So we insist that the city operationalize sanctuary and budget it and put a budget to it. And
so they're not relying on the federal government?
Pardon me?
So that they don't have to rely on the federal government?
Yes, So that we can stand up to the federal government. Now, the state has passed a sanctuary bill. However, the test is going to be whether we stand up, we consistently stand up. So the local Democrats, the state Democrats, I mean, already from pressure from the right, the sanctuary bill that California passed is weak in several areas. And one of the areas which I'm concerned most is this area where they say that they can take into account past crimes. Now, 90% of the folks that have committed crimes here that are undocumented has been DUIs, okay, driving with under the influence of alcohol. But I would say of those 90%, 60 or 70% or more have paid the price, have either gone to jail, gone to schools, have never done it again. Now, I'm talking about within the population that has crimes, which is a very small percentage of the overall population. And in comparison to the overall white population or citizenry population, documented population, it is much lower of a percentage than the regular citizen population. So right. The crimes committed by undocumented are very
These are the weaknesses in the California Sanctuary Bill, you're
saying. But the California Sanctuary Bill calls for considering past crimes. And so you have people that are doing great for the last 15, 20 years, have not been involved in any type of crime, but made the mistake of driving under the influence of alcohol when they were 19 years old. There's many cases like that and similar to that. And we believe that that should not be taken into account. And so already De Leon and
Senator Brown, Kevin De Leon here in California.
Brown gave into that. And De Leon might have the original bill did not have that, but Brown wanted that in there. Now, to De Leon and Brown, it was very important that the police, Charlie Beck, for instance, be very in favor of this. And so they were pushing, Charlie Beck and the police agencies was pushing for this understanding of the sanctuary bill, and where they could take into account past crimes, and in those cases, give those people to the immigration. And so you have this situation where both Brown and De Leon have given in. I mean, De Leon is going out of his way to thank Charlie Beck. Now, Charlie Beck is in charge of a police department.
This is Los Angeles Police Department Chief Charlie Beck.
Yeah. Most amount of murders of blacks right. and Latinos in the country. And they're giving, you know, that's a weakness to me.
Yeah.
And it's something that could be very divisive and not conducive of black-brown unity. We have to be critical of this. It is not correct to begin with.
Well, so, we'll see how the immigration battles play out both at the state levels and at the national levels. Roberto Flores, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest is Roberto Flores, a professor of Chicano Studies at California State University in Los Angeles. He's the founder also of the Eastside Cafe. We've been discussing the latest battle over immigration reform. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.